Covering the crew all season long, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Bob Brainerd.
So the Brewers win 7-2 in Pittsburgh. They get their 90th win of the season for the second season in a row. All that happened, and a lot of other things happened in the baseball game played in Pittsburgh tonight, without a whole lot of things happening. It was strange. It was odd. It was typical Brewers baseball. Winning 7-2 on just six base hits. They got out hit by the Pirates 10-6, but they won it easily 7-2. If that's not a Brewers victory, if that isn't just a microcosm of how they've been getting things done this season and how they just all pull everything together, all the bodies together, all the efforts together, and just figure out a way to win a game. That was it tonight in Pittsburgh. Glad you're with us here on Brewers Extra Innings. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday night. We're going to be joined by a couple of folks throughout the evening tonight. Craig Kishon will jump in when he's through on the TV side with Bally Sports Wisconsin. He's wrapping things up over on the television end of things, and we're going to talk not only about the game, but about the postseason ahead. You can kind of get a sense of maybe what Pat Murphy wants to do with the starting rotation, with the pecking order, with the pitchers. But I say kind of, and this is what I want to touch on with Craig for a bit, I say kind of because do we really know how this is going to play out? Will it be about matchups? Will it be a shorter leash with certain pitchers than we normally would see? Because you saw the really short leash, and again on purpose, with the starter tonight, Tobias Myers, going just four innings, didn't even hit the 50-pitch mark, and then Colin Ray comes in after that, and then you mix and match, and you even had Devin Williams stirring at the end in case they needed to bring him in the ninth inning, which they didn't have to. But you sort of get the sense that this is not only about the Brewers in this last week giving guys rest, but also trying to keep them sharp. And then third fold, if you can fold this over three times, is there a method to the madness here of what might happen in a short series? If the Brewers indeed play in that first round best of three series, are we starting to see glimpses of what might happen on the mound? That's something Craig and I are going to discuss. Speaking of pitching, also later on the show here on Brewers Extra Innings, we are going to talk to former Brewers pitcher Don August. Don is about to release a book that he wrote. In fact, I ran into Don recently, and I asked him, do you actually have the book in your hand? Did you get the shipment yet? And he said, it's coming Friday. So this Friday is when he will actually get the book. I mean, how exciting, you know, when you write your first book, when you collab on your first, you know, publication like that, and when you actually get your hands on the physical copy of the book. I know some of you read it on a Kindle, you read it electronically, but when you're the author, when you put everything you have into an effort like that, and then you finally get that shipment, that's an exciting time. So we're going to talk to Don about that. The name of his book is called Pitching to the Corners, My Post-MLB Career Abroad. Because Don August, if Brewer fans remember, he pitched for the Brewers, starting pitcher, 1988 to 1991. And after that, when he was released by Milwaukee, then Don August, he was in some systems, you know, various major league systems, and then he decided to try to continue his career overseas. And Don pitched in Taiwan and in Italy, and continued to pitch for a number of years. And then he kind of enjoyed that international experience so much, he went on to coach overseas as well. So Don has a really interesting approach and a really interesting lens on what this game of baseball is like overseas. We know that it's an international game. We know about all the stars at the major league level and that they come from literally around the world. But you know, when you mention Taiwan and Italy and some of the other stops, and Don's going to talk about this as well, that he has been through, not only as a player, but as a coach, he's got all these great stories. And I remember, if you followed Don August on his Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, account, occasionally Don would just like break out a story. Something would trigger him and something would remind him. Say, you know, that reminds me of a time when I was pitching in Taiwan. And Don would like cobble together a thread and just explain this. And sometimes these threads are really long, but really great reads and really interesting stuff. And so I think, you know, somewhere, and we'll ask Don if that was the trigger or if he was like, you know, already had the book in motion. And so that those are like little hints of what was to come. Don decided to like gather all his thoughts, gather all his notes, and gather all his experiences and put it into a book. And again, the name of the book is called Pitching to the Corners, My Post-MLB Career Abroad. Don August will join us on the show later on tonight here on Brewers Extra Innings. We're going to step aside and take a break. And again, when we come back, we're going to talk soon with Craig Kishon from Bally Sports Wisconsin. He is wrapping things up over on the TV side. We're going to not only talk about the game, but talk with Craig about what the Brewers' plans might be pitching-wise, rotation, bullpen. Are they setting things up now for what lies ahead in the postseason next week? We will discuss. Craig Kishon, Bob Brainerd with you, coming up on Brewers Extra Innings.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Brewers Extra Innings. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday night as the Brewers win game one of their series in Pittsburgh. Final regular season road trip going on, and they take game one, 7-2, the final score. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member, FDIC. So, before Craig Kishon jumps in here from Bally Sports Wisconsin, a little teaser, because this is something that I not only posed to Craig, but Jerry Augustine, who joins the show here as well on Brewers Extra Innings, and did this about like a month ago when it kind of looked like the postseason was going to happen. And so we talked about the rotation in a short series, like what the Brewers are probably going to end up having, unless there's a big letdown here by the Phillies and Dodgers. But nevertheless, best of three series. And I posed the question to both Augie and Craig. And I said, who are your 1-2 starting pitchers to go in a short series? And both of them, in fact, Jerry Augustine answered pretty quickly. He said, Freddy Peralta and Colin Ray. And Craig gave me Freddy Peralta and then thought about it a little bit and said that there was, and I'll kind of remind Craig about this when he joins us, but he eventually settled in on Colin Ray. Now, this is a month ago, and we've seen Colin Ray now step in and come out of the bullpen. Is that because they want to set him up to do that and have somebody else start in game two? We don't know. I'm going to revisit it now with my good friend Craig Kishon from Bally Sports Wisconsin. Craig, remember when we had that conversation? It was probably about a month ago, and I asked you, who's going 1-2? Who are your starters in games one and games two? And I think you said Freddy Peralta and Colin Ray. Are you still going with those two? Or
no?
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. What are you talking about?
well, that's what you said at the time. And again, this is about a month, almost maybe about 5 weeks ago, because at the time we kind of decided it looks like they're gonna be in the postseason. So what would you do if the postseason was now? And back then, Colin Ray was pitching good enough to be the number two guy. But now, and you've kind of see where they're skipping starts and coming out of the bullpen. So now who's number two?
Well, I think it's got to be either Savali or Montas. And I think they're going to lean in on Savali on this. I think I think, and there's, this is just me again here, this series pitchers against the Pirates with Myers going today and Peralta going tomorrow night and Civale going on Thursday afternoon, I see these three as the guys that are going to get the starts, but not in that order, of course. I think Peralta is definitely going to open up on Tuesday. I could definitely see Civale on Wednesday in game two. And then if you need a game three, I think you could see exactly what they did with Myers today. Myers is effective. He's efficient. He walks very few people. He did give up some base hits. He gives up some base hits. We know that, but you know, he limits damage pretty well. And then they used him for four innings, 49 pitches. I mean, you can't get better than that with 35 of those being strikes. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely see these three, and if they didn't want to, you know, maybe start Myers in that, if they needed that game three to clinch the wild card, then maybe you say we want the veteran Frankie Montas to come in and start that one, since he's been through this scenario before. He's the veteran. He's really done pretty well for the most part, you know, minus his last start. You know, the options have changed over the weeks, and I think since we last talked, I think Sabali's game has picked up tremendously. Mm-hmm. Frankie's game has really picked up, and so now you have two veterans that you completely trust and rely on to pick you up, and after Freddie Peralta, you've got those guys to use, and then you've got a rookie that doesn't pitch like a rookie in Myers. I don't think he's going to be frazzled or dazzled or anything like that if you give him the opportunity. And you can also use him in relief. I mean, he could be like a perfect, you know, one or two inning candidate for you. Like if you're trailing in a game 3-2 or 4-2, he can keep that score at bay. So they have options, and it is pretty amazing, Bob, how it's changed over the last month.
Yeah, it sure has, because, again, and Augie echoed what you said, Craig, and what I agreed with both of you at the time about a month, 5 weeks ago, that, yeah, Freddie's getting the ball in a game one. Colin Ray has earned the ball in game two. But you saw some slippage, and you also saw, and you pointed this out, Craig, I'm glad you did. Civale has really upped his game in the last month or so to kind of deserve the look to say, hey, I can be your guy because I've been really steady this last month. And I agree. I think he has made his case for Pat Murphy to be that number two guy going forward.
Yeah, and he is such a steady force out there. Look, I mean, since he got here, he has knocked his ERA off about a buck and a half, and that's pretty doggone good. And he's become a different pitcher. He's doing, you know, some different things mechanically, and he's relying on, you know, a couple of different pitches here. I think that, you know, Chris Hook and everybody on that, in that pitching coaching staff work so hard on with these guys that he's done a great job with. So, and Montas has as well, but I think, you know, Civale's addition at the time that they got him in early July has made the world of difference. You know, just think about it this way. He's been with this team for a half a season now, and it doesn't seem that way when you think about it, but he has. And now he's pitching like he's been here full time. So they've got, you know, full trust in this guy. And they really do in a lot of guys, but there's going to be some decisions made. I said this, you know, with Dom a couple of days ago, Bob. There are going to be some guys that you would expect to be on the wild card playoff roster that are not going to be there. And these are the tough decisions this team has to make right now. And I'll tell you right now, they are loaded with pitching options. And some of these guys might not be used in the wild card, but if they win, they might very well be needed in the next round, and hopefully a deep run.
Yeah, great point. He's Craig Kishon from Bally Sports Wisconsin joining me tonight on Brewers Extra Innings. To that point, Craig, what the Brewers are doing and what we're seeing lately with Pat Murphy and Chris Hook, and kind of mixing and matching pitchers when you have that luxury here because you've already clinched the division. Because of that, I think they're kind of getting a feel for what it could look like in the playoffs, because we all know that when you get to the playoffs, it's all hands on deck. And it's not necessarily going to be the normal pecking order of your starter goes 5-6 innings, and then your seventh inning guy goes, then your eighth, and then your closer. It's not going to be that. You're going to see guys who are starters who you're going to plug them in, maybe early, maybe often, maybe longer stints. It really is, because it's the postseason, because it's more do or die, Craig, we're going to see guys in different roles than we're used to, and I think we're seeing glimpses here in these last few weeks.
I think tonight was really test run number one on how they could – I mean, I could see a playoff game just like tonight went, for the most part, you know, where Myers goes four, so you got the righty starter, then you bring in Hobie in the fifth. He ended up getting the win tonight in relief. So he's the lefty. Then you go to Ray, who they probably wanted to use for the sixth and seventh inning, but he ran into a little issue there. So now you go the other way. You bring in the lefty McGill, who's got 20 saves, mind you, and he's pitching in the seventh inning. He's got to shut him down, induces the double play. And then you got Piamps, who is back on track here right now. This guy is pitching really, really well. You flip him over. He's your righty. Well, you have a 7-2 lead, so now you can go to Joe Ross. But Milner, Ray, McGill, Piamps, I could definitely see a scenario just like we saw, all backing up the starter, Tobias Myers. We're going to see something probably a little different tomorrow. I'm guessing they're not going to have Freddie go more than, you know, five innings max tomorrow night and keep him somewhat fresh for getting ready on Tuesday, but it's going to be, to me, test run number two. I think they're going to treat every one of these final six regular season games, starting with tonight, and we saw it already, as complete test runs of what they can and could do come playoff time.
Not only that, pitching-wise tonight, Craig, I mean, this is sort of like, as you put it, a test run, which is perfect. But this game, this 7-2 win, a comfortable win at Pittsburgh, even though the Pirates out-hit Milwaukee 10-6, wasn't this just typical Brewer baseball?
Well, I think the thing about it that was great to see is how many walks they drew. Man, they were like walkless in that three game skid against Arizona, and really, you know, even during the clincher when they won 2-1 and kind of struggling a little bit offensively in the last full week or so, their MO is drawing walks and you know, relying on the next guy in line, and they've done a really good job of that. And then, you know, somebody puts it in play like we saw today, and you know, you make the first baseman make a tough throw, and he throws it in the left field, and so suddenly you're taking advantage of some errors as well. So, yeah, no home runs tonight. You got Sal Frelick, you know, rocketing a double off the wall. Man, if he can start doing something like that, and I think we've seen kind of a power stroke a little bit from him over the last week. You know, little things happen all of a sudden when it pop up to the playoffs that you don't expect. Rhys Hoskins tonight, and what he did in the final two innings on Sunday in that comeback. I mean, Rhys Hoskins tonight became only the second player in the majors to reach base safely four times without putting the ball in play any time. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Walk, catcher's interference, error, hit by a pitch in another walk. And he had an RBI to top it off. So, but that's the veteran. He knows he's been through so much. We saw how he was able to get on base and drive home those runs, especially those two in the eighth inning on Sunday. Just put the ball in play, get it over the top of the outfield. Don't ground out in the infield. It could be a double play. I mean, he's just smart enough to know what's happening. And it's been around so long, his value right now is skyrocketing for this team. And everything that happened tonight was by his intention, I'm telling you. He just knows how to play this game, and it comes quick. These other guys on this team, these young kids, can pick all this stuff up. He's such a leader that way, and this is what you want out of a guy. This is why they signed him, so he could start carrying them in the playoffs.
Yeah. To that, Craig, so I was at the Brewer game last Friday, and somebody, I overheard a conversation. They said, You know, why is Rhys Hoskins, you know, why do they love this guy so much in Philadelphia? I mean, look at his numbers. And they looked at his, you know, look at his numbers. And I turned and said, I'll tell you why, because of what he did in the postseason for them. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like what David Freese did with the St. Louis Cardinals when they went to the World Series. You know, David Freese doesn't buy a meal the rest of his life in St. Louis. Rhys Hoskins, same deal in Philadelphia because of what he did when the Phillies were in the World Series. To that point, Craig, and I'm glad you touched on it, because this is a guy who has been there, he's been on the biggest stage, and he knows how to perform when the lights are the brightest and the season is on the line. I think that's exactly what you said, why Rhys Hoskins was brought in. This is when he's going to flip the switch and say, okay, guys, I know how to do this. It's postseason time. Just come follow me.
Well, I'm telling you, Rhys Hoskins is not a guy at this point of his career that says, I want to win a World Series. He is at the point of his career that says, we are going to win a World Series, and this is how we're going to get it done. He's going to map some things out for this team, for some of these young players. I mean, yes, he's already done that, but there's so much more left to do here. And, you know, Rhys Hoskins, you know, this guy did not play last year at all. So he hasn't played since the 2022 season. Right now, about the biggest thing missing from Rhys Hoskins' game to get back in prime form is the batting average. And, you know, if he was hitting more of his accustomed, you know, 240, 250 potential there, imagine how many, not just home runs, just how many more runs he'd be able to knock in right now, because he's made a lot of outs this season. We know it. It just happened, unfortunately, with runners on, but he's got 78 RBIs right now. I mean, this guy probably would easily be leading this club if he was batting what he's used to batting here right now. The home runs are there, and they've driven in, you know, a large portion of his runs, but you know, he'd be in that 120 range easily. I mean, Willie Adames has 111 RBIs and he's batting 250. If Rhys was batting 250, I'm telling you, he might have 140 RBIs.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. He is Craig Kishon from Bally Sports Wisconsin. Craig, one more short segment with you when we come back here. I want to talk about postseason matchups with the Milwaukee Brewers when we return on Brewers Extra Innings.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental.
Barry.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical offers 5% off service for veterans and seniors all year long. Make sure to mention this offer when scheduling your next appointment. Visit Sider.com today. That's Seider.com. Families helping families since 1912. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday night on Brewers Extra Innings as the Brewers take game one of this series on the road at Pittsburgh, winning 7-2. Joined by Bally Sports Wisconsin's Craig Kishon. All right, Craig, simple question. You want the Brewers to win in advance and go to the next round, obviously. But if you had your druthers, if you had your favorite, if you had a most comfortable matchup for this best of three coming up next week, whom would you pick? Your choices are Arizona, the Mets, or Atlanta, who won tonight to maybe get back in the equation. So of the three, what say you? Who would be the best matchup to win the series in advance?
Well, part of me wants to say the New York Mets. Now, we haven't seen them, obviously, since the opening series. And I thought, you know, the Brewers, obviously, way back when, certainly looked good in that series against the Mets, and the Mets did not. And the Brewers went on to one of the steadiest, more successful seasons and consistent, you know, seasons that we've seen in a long, long time. And the Mets had their ups and downs, but they're definitely back on the upswing. So are the Diamondbacks. We just saw them. But I just think overall, you know, the Brewers might fare better, you know, against the Mets pitching wise, and just approach and hitting. But I'll tell you this, you know, if the Braves somehow are able to squeak into this. You know, they have Chris Sale, and you know, there's Chris Sale there. That now, if you could beat Chris Sale, you're going to win that series. They're down Ronald Acuna, and obviously have been for most of this year. And they're in that spot where they're on the outside looking in, mostly because of that. I mean, their pitching, I don't think, is as good as Milwaukee's overall. So this is a really hard pick. But I will say this, Bob, a lot of people, you know, I heard it for four straight days while Arizona was in town. I don't want to play the Diamondbacks. Well, the Brewers beat them out in Arizona, probably should have swept them. They won the series. Probably should have swept them. They blew that game on Sunday, just like the Diamondbacks blew the game on this Sunday the other day. But the three games that Arizona had against Milwaukee where the Brewers just didn't look good and looked a little, you know, lifeless, that was all following the, you know, very dramatic win to clinch that walk-off and then the celebration they'd done. So the first game of that series, you cross off, there's no way you're going to win that. And then, you know, there was a little bit of a, you know, wide-eyed team wondering, well, what are we playing for here right now? And they finally figured that out on Sunday. So I think the Diamondbacks got the Brewers at an incredibly good time to win three out of four and maybe even sweep that series. They were fortunate to face Milwaukee at that time. So that's kind of how I look at the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Very beatable. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Yes, they went to the World Series last year, but every team changes a little bit, and they're very, very talented, but they're beatable.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Chris Sale, because when I saw that the Braves won tonight, and you know, so they're still on the outside looking in, as you said.
They're only a game out, though.
Right, yeah. Only a game out. But yeah, Chris Sale, that alone, that strikes fear. It should strike fear in anybody, because if Sale goes and if he's super stingy, now you're down one. You know, now you're thinking back to last year when it's like, we had Corbin Burns going and then they lost game one and you're like, back's against the wall. This is going to be difficult even at home and couldn't get it done. So, yeah, I fear the Braves for that reason and Chris Sale. Your points about Arizona are well taken. I think hitting-wise, you know, the Diamondbacks have some really good major league hitters, as we know. So do the Mets too. So I'm kind of leaning in your camp, Craig, in that if that's a wash as far as, you know, Lindor, Alonso, the big hitters that the Mets have, and then you've got Carroll and Marte and you know, Christian Walker and the big sticks that the Diamondbacks have. Okay, if that's a wash, then pitching-wise, yeah, I think the Diamondbacks pitchers perhaps would have an edge as far as the whole staff compared to the whole staff of the Mets. So, yeah, maybe you like the Mets in a matchup in a best-of-three better. I'm kind of leaning in your camp, Craig.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, the Brewers have been the most consistent team in baseball beginning to end. There's no arguing that. And a lot of that has had to do with their bullpen and the fact that they have been able to figure out a starting rotation that has been pretty effective as well. But the bullpen has carried them, and the bullpen in the playoffs, in how they're playing games in this day and age in baseball, means everything. You hope to get some runs across the way, but it's all about pitching here right now. And I really, really believe the Brewers are, you know, like I said a few minutes ago, they're so deep right now with their choices of who to carry and not to carry on this playoff roster. It's not even funny. But you know what? Kudos to them, man. They went out and found these guys. They went out and developed a lot of them. Even the veterans they brought in, they helped develop. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be interesting, and it's funny. It's just down to three teams for two spots here right now, and there's still a full week left.
Yeah. Ain't it fun talking postseason baseball, Craig? Ain't it fun? I mean,
it just is. And, you know, we've talked a lot about it over the recent years, and I hope it's going to be, let's keep talking about this deep into October. And who knows? I mean, well, you just don't know what's going to happen here. But this is such prime time for this beautiful sport of baseball right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, it is fun. And yeah, let's keep talking about it for a long, long time, way past next week. Okay. He is Craig Kishon from Bally Sports Wisconsin. Craig, as always, love chatting with you, my friend. Have a great rest of your evening.
All right, pal.
When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, former Brewer pitcher Don August, his travels literally around the world, now all compacted into a brand new book. Don August will join us to talk about it next.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings. Milwaukee wins in Pittsburgh, game one of that final regular season road trip, beating the Pirates 7-2. Don August pitched for the Milwaukee Brewers from 1988 to 1991. He bounced around with some other organizations and then decided to take the mound overseas. Pitched in Taiwan, pitched in Italy, and then after that, continued to coach overseas as well. And Don August decided to corral all those thoughts and all those experiences and put it all into a book. It's called Pitching to the Corners, My Post-MLB Career Abroad by Don August. Mark Knutson helped him out as well on the book. Don August joins us now on Brewers Extra Innings. And Don, this is an exciting time for you because you're about to get your hands on your book. When did you decide to corral all your stories and decide to put it all into one nice, neat package?
Hello, Bob. Good to be on the show. It actually started about 9 years ago. So it took a little time for this to come all about. It started like after I was done playing, after my last season, which was in the year 2000, after playing overseas for a number of years, I was at home full time and, you know, hanging out with friends, neighbors, and family and stuff like that. And somehow a story would pop up and I'd share a story that took place in one of these faraway places. And my people told me, hey, why don't you write a book? And I said, nah, I ain't going to write a book. That takes a lot of time and effort. Well, eventually about 9 years ago, I started, you know, maybe I will do this. So about that time it was like 2015. I just started jotting some ideas and stories down. And I contacted a few people that have written books. They contacted me previously about, you know, being interviewed to tell some stories about for their books they were writing. So I had two people to go off of, and one guy was able to start working with me. And we kind of got into the background of where I came from and stuff, and it kind of got to be that. But the real story that I always wanted to tell was once I was done playing professionally here in the States, going abroad. So we got the first part, and we decided to go to a second part. And the guy couldn't do it no more. So I had to write it on my own. So I finished the main part of what I really wanted to do. And then I contacted Mark Knutson, former Brewer teammate of mine.
Mm-hmm.
He was a journalist major from Colorado State when he was in college. And he does a lot of media stuff and like that out in the Denver area where he's from. And I kind of showed him the first part and what I did the second part. He said, yeah, I can put this all into one story here. And that took another couple years. And then we got the book deal about 2 years ago. It took 2 years for the publisher to, you know, wait our turn and that sort of thing. And eventually it's coming out here on this Friday. So it was 9 years, a long time, but it's finally amazingly here.
Yeah. I ran into Don at a golf outing recently, and I said, do you have the book? Do you actually – Have you had it in your mitts yet? And he said, no, it's coming out on Friday. So how jacked are you to open that box on Friday, Don?
It is. It's like it's kind of like a relief. You know, the time that it took for this to happen, you almost forget about it at times. Like, oh, God, yeah, that's right. I wonder where we're at now. But, yeah, so finally it's out there. And, you know, I know some people have already pre-ordered it and stuff like that. So I'm just excited to hear the feedback, though. Yeah, excited and, I guess, nervous. Being nervous meaning when you write something like this, I guess I feel like I'm kind of vulnerable now. I got to get ready to take, you know, the criticisms because you got to know not everybody's going to like every single story or different things within the book. So I'm ready for the good and ready for maybe for the bad. I guess, you know, you put yourself out there, you never know. But I'm excited, though, overall, to see what people think.
Yeah. The name of the book is Pitching to the Corners, My Post-MLB Career Abroad by Don August, who's joining us tonight on Brewers Extra Innings. So Don, without reading the whole book and giving it away, because people need to buy your book and they need to read it themselves, but give us a general theme of what you found baseball to be like overseas. Or was it just, at the end of the day, baseball is baseball no matter where you are on this planet?
A little bit of that, but mainly it's the theme I wanted to get across was, here's a guy who played Major League Baseball, you know, where the teams have chartered airplanes that fly everywhere and you stay in the five-star hotels and you're playing on TV in front of everybody. Now I'm playing in the Mexican League. I'm in Taiwan for 5 years. I go to Italy, and we're not at that same place. You know, I'm in Mexico on 20-something hour bus rides. You know, I'm in different parts of the world eating different types of food I've never even seen before. You know, it's a culture thing you have to deal with. You know, language, food, just trying to survive. What takes place in these different countries is, as an American player coming there, they pay you a little bit more to play there than their native players, and they expect you to be perfectly good all of the time. I mean, one bad inning, they talk about one bad game, it's like they're freaking out. Two games or so, I mean, they're already talking about getting rid of you. So there's a lot of pressure to always have to do good. And I saw a lot of good ball players who came from the States, or even from, you know, players like from the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and all those other places, man, that they would go there and they were good players, but they just couldn't handle it. You know, it's just that culture shock and all that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
So it was different. So the stories kind of tell how an American guy who's played the major leagues is dealing with all this stuff and trying to be good all the time and dealing with all those different things that you come across every day.
You know, Don, as life goes on or a baseball career goes on, it just, you know, you're always going forward and you're not so much looking back. You're just trying to see, you know, when's the next opportunity? How long can I keep doing this? So when it did end, and then when you did finally dig in and decide, I think I want to corral all these thoughts and these notes and put it into a book, was it easy for you to go back and remember a lot of things, or did things like pop up in the middle of your days and your weeks and your months? How did the process play out when you were trying to get all this stuff back in your memory bank?
Yeah, it was definitely a process. I kind of wrote things down chronologically. You know, my first place I went to was to the Mexican League, but I went to winter ball, kind of touched upon some things there. And it actually, to me, was kind of fun to dig in and come up with some of these memories, the good ones and some of the weird ones and everything in between. And I just kind of wrote it out and put it together. And it went from the next season to the next season. And it was kind of fun, you know, to relive these kinds of things. You know, you kind of forget, the main stories, you know, you definitely can remember pop off the top of your head. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. I started remembering these different little odd situations and stuff. And, you know, sometimes I laugh out loud to myself, kind of reliving these things. So to me, it was kind of fun, kind of therapeutic in a way, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, Don, I mentioned you were at the Brewers 88 to 91, and from there, that's kind of when the global journey took over your life. Why did you keep going from place to place, country to country? Was it simply the love of the game? You just didn't want to let it go?
I think that had a big part of it. Definitely the love of the game. I always believed I could still come back to the United States and have a shot at it, get back. I always felt and I always had heard that if you got a uniform on your back, you always got a chance. So I believed I could do it, and I just kept going to these different places. You know, after the major leagues, you know, there was a couple stints with some other organizations and their minor league teams, and it didn't quite work out. then these other countries just kind of came around that, you know, maybe I can still go and move on and get a chance to play again. And I believed I could do it to the very end. And it, I felt like I gave it a pretty good shot. So, you know, as an athlete, whenever the time does come, you know, you make that decision, you want to feel kind of good about it. So I believe I exhausted every opportunity. I mean, traveling around the world, you know, to Asia, to Europe, and everywhere in between. Then, you know, when it was done, it was done. I felt good about it. I gave it a good shot. So I think that's where I kind of feel about the whole situation there.
Yeah. Again, the book is Pitching to the Corners, My Post-MLB Career Abroad by Don August. Now, Don is still in the area here, and I know, Don, that you still follow closely the Milwaukee Brewers, your former team. So give us your assessment. 90 wins with the victory tonight. They already won the division. We know that it's probably going to be best of three series next week at home to move on in the postseason. But what has been your assessment from your seat that you have seen out of this 2024 Brewers squad?
Well, I'm pleasantly surprised, tell you the truth. Craig Counsell moving on to the Chicago Cubs. I thought, man, we got a young team, a very young team, basically, and we had to get a new manager. And the Brewers kind of kept it, you know, within, you know, kept, you know, Coach Pat Murphy to lead the team. And I was hoping at best that we'd be a 500 team. I would have considered that, you know, a victory. You know, just a lot of these guys were not quite proven. You know, some of the guys were playing last year, and they kind of got their feet wet, saw some good stuff. But we had to see what was going to come about this year. And we had another crop of young players kind of rise up into the ranks here, and really great stuff. I mean, I think they started out nicely at the beginning of the year, and I think these young guys believe that they can win and play well. I think that has a lot to do with what Pat Murphy and this Brewer staff kind of got out of these guys. And by the time we got to, you know, midseason all-star break, man, the Brewers were kind of in a good position. And it's like, I think everyone was like believing that if we got to this point, perhaps some good things can happen. And, you know, we saw, you know, it's like the Brewers have this thing with pitching. I mean, that's been, I think, the strength of the team these past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, the last years, it was like we had the very strong starting pitching and still with a pretty good bullpen, but I think the bullpen has really gotten really strong here, and the starting pitching has done well, but with that great backup that they've had, I think that's kind of really pushed this team. You know, the Brewers hitting off and on, they've had some good streaks, but the Brewers have won a lot of games, you know, due to the good pitching, winning these low scoring games in that way. So, man, now then we pushed into the, you know, got through the dog days of August. We're pushing into September. Man, it was now, let's close this up. We're going to make the playoffs. And that's the next season that's to come here about, you know, a week from now. And, you know, I think the Brewers hitting has to pick it up a little bit more, maintain that pitching. I think we have a good shot. What we need to do is win a round, the first round. We haven't won a first round of the playoffs.
Right.
You know, since how long, you know? So I'd like to see us get to that next level. And if we can push that, that's great. But this is going to be great experience for all the Brewers' young players, because I think we're going to keep making the playoffs, hopefully, keep my fingers crossed. But this could be the great experience for these young guys, you know, in the next few years to come. I think that could be where we really kind of maybe can make a push and get into a World Series, win one perhaps. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. The name of the book is Pitching to the Corners, My Post-MLB Career Abroad by Don August, who's been kind enough to join us here on Brewers Extra Innings tonight. So, Don, Brewer fans that are listening, baseball fans that are listening, how can they get your book? There's so much. I mean, yeah, you're going to open that box on Friday at home, and you're going to have an actual book. But as we know, you can, you know, electronically read books now on Kindles and other devices. So what are the avenues to go and find your book?
Well, the ones that I know of, I mean, you can go online and go to McFarland and Company. That's the publishers who published the book.
Okay.
You go through them and order it. I know you can get on. I know a lot of people have gone on to Amazon and pre-ordered it here already. I believe that maybe they should be out on some of the bookstores. I think, you know, the publishers are getting those out. So those are kind of the main ways that I'm aware of right now.
Okay. Are you going to do a book signing someplace?
Yes. I am. I kind of got one going. There's a guy that I've done, you know, card shows and came there and signed autographs. The guy works out of an Oak Creek. So I talked to him about, hey, I'll do a kind of card show if you want to kind of mix it into a slash book signing. So we kind of agreed to do that. That's going to be in the first week of November.
Okay.
So if people are aware, they go to these card shows, that I think they're familiar with where that is. It takes place out in Oak Creek. I'll be out there. I'm not sure. It's probably like a Saturday or something. It's, for some reason, November 5th or 7th or something like that. I believe that's the date that we agreed to that I'd be out there on. So maybe I'm looking to possibly do another one locally, maybe at a bookstore or something, but haven't gotten the final details on that yet. But looking forward to doing some of that stuff and, you know, promoting the book a little bit and seeing some fans. I always like doing that. So that's within the lines of to come.
Well, and Don, you will keep fans abreast of the situation, the fluid situation, because people can follow you on Twitter. It's at DonAugust38, and Don will give you all the dates and the locations, right, Don? I mean, because you're Twitter. I remember when you were on Twitter and you would have these long threads, and I remember reading these about your overseas experiences, and I'm saying to myself, this is fascinating. It's like Don's writing a book on Twitter, which you kind of were, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the process of finishing writing it all out. My son gave me the idea. It was the time of COVID when I did do that. And he goes, why don't you share some stories on the Twitter right now? You know, people are starving for anything with sports, you know, especially during that lockdown time.
There you go.
And I just kind of threw out story after story out there, you know, it was kind of a test to see how a lot of people would, you know, see with it. And, I got positive reinforcement there. So yeah, again, now the book is finally out and I'm hoping that the people kind of are just as excited and interested in the stories when I do them through the Twitter. Now they can actually buy the book that has them all in there.
There you go. Don, congratulations on the book. I hope you enjoy Friday. That's going to be a great life moment when you crack open that box and grab that book. Can't wait to read it. Thanks so much for joining us, my friend.
Yeah, no problem. Great being with you.
He is Don August. Go get the book. Read all about it. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, Pat Murphy joins us from Pittsburgh.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win in Pittsburgh, 7-2. Pat Murphy got to use a bunch of pitchers in different situations. He got to watch a lot of patient ABs, and it led to a comfortable win in game one of this three-game set.
Yeah, that's
pretty special number.
Yeah, those are fun things that happen throughout the year. I don't get to savor in them as much, but I think later on when you look back at the season, you look at the type of season he had, that's, you know, whether it was 32 and 19 or whether it's 32 and 20, it's still a great season. We got to keep continuing to play decent baseball. We were decent today. Hey, the Pirates hit some balls really hard today. In the first, like, four innings, they had, like, 12 hard contacts, and we had, like, two. But, you know, we grinded out at bats and got some hits when we needed to. Willie got some big hits, and we took advantage. We took our walks when we needed to and played good defense. So, yeah, that kept us kept us ahead.
Is that what Tobias did, kind of grinded through?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't obviously do his best. He got hit hard, you know. It was a bunch of balls 100 miles an hour or more off him. A little unusual, you know, but they've seen him twice, so I think they knew what to expect. They went up there attacking. Credit to them. I've said it all year, this is not a bad ball club, you know. They got some hitters and they got some pitching. We all know about it. Starting pitching is really good. That kid Falter is It's really good. Now, do they have him? Do they have him under control? What's their situation with him, Falter? Do you know?
I don't know exactly. He's pretty young.
Yeah. The Phillies had him for a while, and then... So I wonder if they have him under control. He's not a free agent, is what we're saying. No.
Was it planned the whole time for it to be for Tobias, or was that just...
It was planned to be short. Yeah, it was planned to be shorter. And it was planned that Colin Ray would get in the game. But other than that, everything was open.
You guys kind of like that spot for Colin? Or are you just trying to give guys work at this point?
Yeah, I don't know that that's his best spot. Colin's just so capable, you know what I mean? He's just a consummate professional and will do whatever you ask of him. So I think his best spot is starting, but we're down to the end here and things are, you know, getting cramped, and we'll see what's best for everybody. But I trust him. You know, that's the bottom line.
You're learning he can do this.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think. And it sets up nicely if he's going to help us in the postseason. That might be the role he helps us in. So it remains to be seen.
There's Pat Murphy echoing what Craig Kishon and I were talking about a few minutes ago about Colin Ray. Like, you kind of get the sense that Murph, without committing there, but still saying that they're trying to see where he might fit in certain situations if he's not a starting pitcher in one of the postseason games next week. When we come back in Brewers Extra Innings, they only had 6 hits, but they made all the highlights count. We will wrap it all up with our highlight package next.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Bob Brainerd.
All right, the final was 7-2. How did it all happen? Well, again, it was kind of typical Brewers. They had a lot of traffic, a lot of walks, a lot of people on base, but only 6 base hits. But they started the party in the second inning with Sal Frelick.
And now the 1-0. And Sal rips one out to right. Going back is De La Cruz onto the track. He reaches up. It's over his head. And one hops the wall. Adames racing around third. They will hold Hoskins. Adames scores. It's an RBI double for Frelick, and the Brewers take a 1-0 lead.
By the way, Adames scored because he was on base and stole second, giving him 20 stolen bases. So not only a 20-20 guy, but a 30-20 guy is Willie Adames. Brewers weren't done in the second inning, though. Joey Ortiz turn after that.
3-2 pitch. And a ground ball back up the middle and under the glove of York and into center field. Hoskins is in. Frelick is jogging around third. He will score. It is a 2-run single for Joey Ortiz, and the Brewers take a 3-0 lead here in the second.
So a 3-run second inning and then a single tally in the fourth, and then you go all the way to the seventh inning, and this was atypical of the game. The Brewers loaded the bases. Pittsburgh walked in a pair of runs. Not really thrilling. You want not thrilling, but getting the job done? Here's Frelick again.
Wentz kicks the leg and delivers, and it swung on and flied into straightaway center and not overly deep. Play for O'Neill Cruz, who comes in to make the catch. They're going to test him with Contreras. He tags from third, and the throw is cut off. It's a sacrifice fly hit by Sal Frelick for run number 3 in the inning. The Brewers are ahead now 7-2.
And that would be the final score. Not sexy in how they got it done, but they got it done to get their 90th win of the season. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we will wrap things up, get you ready for game 2 in Pittsburgh, and check the scoreboard to see how the postseason is shaking out. It's the final week of the regular season.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Final score tonight in Game 1 of the final regular season road series for the Brewers. They beat the Pirates in Pittsburgh 7-2. If you're holding out hope, and there's a smidgen of hope left that they could get either the 1 or 2 seed, you'd have to pretty much run the table and then hope that either the Phillies and or the Dodgers would lose a bunch in a row here down the stretch. So the Brewers did their part. winning in Pittsburgh. The Cubs helped the Brewers out, knocking off the Phillies in Philadelphia tonight. 10-4 was the final there. Still a ways to go, but that's part one. And part two would be the Dodgers losing. They are hosting the San Diego Padres in a ginormous three-game series that began tonight. Padres came in trailing the Dodgers for the division title. So the Padres are pretty much a lock to get one of the wild card spots, probably the top wild card, but they could still overtake the Dodgers and win the division. Came in 3.5 games out of the top running Dodgers. And right now they're in the middle of the third inning. Padres lead it 2-1. So if San Diego could sweep the Dodgers in LA, they would be within a half game of the Dodgers for the division title. Crazy to think. But again, and that could also help the Brewers if San Diego is knocking off the Dodgers along the way. The other wild card slots of importance to see who the Brewers might play, if they are indeed playing next week in that best of three. Atlanta, clinging to hope to get one of the wild card spots, beat the New York Mets in Atlanta tonight 5-1. So that brings Atlanta to within a game of the last wild card spot, drops the Mets down. So you've got three teams jockeying for two spots, because San Diego is going to get either, if they get the division, great. Otherwise, they're going to get the top wild card spot. Then you've got the Mets and the Diamondbacks and the Braves all fighting for two spots between those three teams. So Atlanta got closer by beating the Mets. And then you're looking at the Diamondbacks. And Arizona's getting beat in Phoenix tonight, top of the fifth inning, by the San Francisco Giants. They're down 8-0. The Diamondbacks are down 8-0. Remember, they led the Brewers 8-0 and coughed that game up on Sunday. So maybe still a hangover there. So if you're a Brewer fan and you have a preference on who you want to play next week, be it the Mets, Diamondbacks, or Braves, well, the Braves won to get themselves back into the conversation. The Mets lost, but then the Diamondbacks are probably going to lose. So who knows, right? It'll all be sorted out by Sunday. As far as game two in Pittsburgh, it'll be a matchup on the mound of Luis Ortiz going for the Pirates. He's got a record of 6-6 with an ERA of 3.43 and 102 strikeouts. Freddy Peralta will be on the hill for Milwaukee, and the guys talked about it during the game. This will probably be Freddy's last start of the regular season. They want to get him some good quality innings here and then get him ready for a potential game one in Milwaukee, which would be next Tuesday. Freddie's record is 11-8, ERA of 3.69, and 193 Ks. So Freddie could perhaps, you know, get 7 Ks and hit that 200 mark for the season. That would be another nice little marker on his resume in 2024. 5 p.m. is the pregame show here on 620 WTMJ and across the Brewers Network, with the first pitch scheduled in Pittsburgh for 5:40 p.m. That'll do it for this Tuesday edition of Brewers Extra Innings. For Craig Kishon, for Don August, for Max Meyerson, who presses all the right buttons here in the studio, I'm Bob Brainerd saying so long. Dom is back tomorrow, so make sure you dial back in for Brewers Extra Innings.